You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for the podcast to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Jack Trenneman, CEO of SMW Group. SMW Group provide engineering and maintenance services for the mining and construction industry, including rail and defence. With 30 years of experience in the areas of industrial manufacturing, process and mining equipment maintenance and management, Jack started as a fitter machinist, moved up to a maintenance manager, and worked in the coal industry, including the management of contracting companies, prior to moving into the engineering business and co-founding the SMW Group. Welcome, Jack, to the program.
Yeah, good morning all and hello.
Just for a start, give us just a quick rundown in relation to the business. We'll get onto it as we go further into the program. But SMW Group, what do you exactly do?
Yeah, look, we're certainly a diversified mining and services business now. Originally started off in the fabrication discipline only, and we moved through not only workshop work and field service in the fabrication and structural area of the business to introduce mechanical rebuilds, hydraulics, as well as some auto electrical and electrical areas into our business. So we have the full suite of trades and engineering services now, draftees, mechanical and structural engineers as well, project managers, so we can start a project with a concept now and take it right through to the completion. So, yeah, we've moved a long way in the last 21 years.
Yes, you certainly have. So let's start as the introduction. It started off with 30 years' experience in the areas of industrial manufacturing, process and mining equipment, maintenance and so forth. But you started your apprenticeship as a fitter machinist, is that correct?
Certainly. Back then it was in the mighty QCL group, the old Queensland Cement Limited. I started in the Rockhampton plant and was the only apprentice to work from apprenticeship right up to the maintenance manager's role. So then I worked throughout QCL and we merged and made Cement Australia the company it is today. So I worked between Rockhampton, Gladstone, New South Wales, Tasmania and New Zealand. So I've done a lot of shutdown services for them, including kiln conversions and plant upgrades.
Okay, so just let us know, it's one of the things that I do ask a lot of guests, and especially somebody with your experience. How have you seen the whole industry change over that period? It's been, I won't say a long time, we don't want to give away your age or anything like that, but 30 years, 21 years for SMW Group. But how have you seen the industry change, especially for Rockhampton? And I know the company is also based in Mackay. You also have an office also in Brisbane. But first off, just I suppose with Rockhampton, how have you seen the whole industry change in those years?
Yeah, look, Rockhampton, through my years of growing up here, was traditionally a meatworks and railway town. But however, as more so in the last 20 years since we've been a part of the mining and the services sector, that we've helped the town grow and attract other similar businesses to the Parkhurst Industrial Estate here in Rockhampton. So we do have some more competitors in town, which we certainly encourage. It's investment for the town. But that's been the real big shift, is having other industries apart from meat processing in the rail. Unfortunately, we lost the rail there quite a few years back. I've certainly done a lot of work myself in that space with some of the rail rail companies to try and introduce some of those skill sets back here. We're doing some wagon maintenance ourselves, but there's a real opportunity because Rockhampton is, as everyone should be aware, is genuinely central Queensland. So we have regional-based skill sets, and we certainly have enough room here for the rail sector. And we do have remnants of what was once a great rail repair business in the previous Horizon Yards here. So, yeah, look, we've seen all those changes, and there's some green shoots showing in that area. But just the mining and the resource sector around the greater Rocky region has really increased in that last 21-year period, moving away from the traditional skill sets that Rockhampton was renowned for.
One thing that I have noticed with Rockhampton, just especially over the last couple of years, of course, there's a lot of things going on at the moment and so forth in a number of different areas. But I've actually noticed a great deal of more positivity with especially a range of businesses, not just working within the industrial and construction and resource sector, but just with normal businesses that service that industry or service those businesses, but even the ones that aren't associated with them. What's your feel in Rockhampton at the moment?
Certainly. Look, we've got an untapped resource here in the tourism field. My parents, back when I was a teenager, had a tourist park just north of Rockhampton, one of the caves. It was called Camus Cave, so they were into the tourist area. Those untapped resources through Rocky, the Fitzroy River, the Yeppoon area, the Capricorn district itself, the Keppel Islands, in the 80s, mid-80s was well known because of the resorts we had here, as in the old Iwasaki's resort and the resorts over in Great Keppel. Unfortunately, they died away with the introduction of the cruise liners. However, even more so now that we're all unfortunate to experience COVID, everyone's appreciating what we do have in Queensland and appreciate they should do some of the best beaches in the world in the Capricornia district, and certainly the best fishing in the world is also here. We've got reef, we've got islands, we've got the Fitzroy River inlets and all those tributaries through there. I've got an older brother, he's down in Port Macquarie, runs a bait and tackle shop down there, but he's be 60 next year, but he's got a group of guys. They come up every year just to experience the Fitzroy for the barra fishing as well as some of the islands as well. So look, it's getting well known on the map for those things. The council's done an extremely good job, the previous mayor and the current mayor, in showcasing that with the barra bounties and things like that. We have river cruisers back here again. We have fishing charters are back again in the Fitzroy and around the Yeppoon area. So, look, all of those things are certainly well received by us. It certainly boosts the economy. It certainly gives everyone's children an opportunity to have employment in a regional area like Rockhampton. And it's really starting to pay dividends. You can see the development moving into the next phase of the Greater Rocky Region, where we are renowned now for, having the latest and greatest, but also having the best of the heritage listed buildings and tourist parks and things like that for people to visit.
Well, as you just said there, Rockhampton certainly is turning into a lot more livable city than it was in the past. It always have been a little bit of move from the old money to some new money at the moment, from the agricultural sector through a number of others. But as you said, with your parents and so forth and with tourism and the caves and your brother as well, but I suspect working with industry and what you do, that you, in a way, didn't have a choice. From what I can see, you grew up in towns like Blackwater, Claremont and Mount Isa before returning to Rockhampton. And I'll just sort of say that that was a big influence on your career.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, there's 10 in my dad's family, and the boys' dad's brothers were in policing or in the ambulance or in council themselves throughout central Queensland. I was fortunate enough to travel all those areas as a younger child and start my schooling in those areas. And, we still have family right out there. I've still got sisters married in Claremont, friends in Mount Isa. So, it was my first taste of mining and the resource sector was growing up in all those country towns. My old man, Dad, he was actually the second copper, I believe, in Mara when it kicked off with the mine. So I wasn't born then, so he's actually ticked off more of the mining towns than I have. But yeah, certainly, it made it a lot easier for when I went back there to get involved in the mining industry, where people, me having an unusual name, that's not that common, I shouldn't say unusual, certainly had known me father and his brothers and sisters and things like that throughout the whole CQ. So yeah, it made it easier to do business, that's for sure.
Well, as you say, doing business, so you're currently the CEO of SMW Group. You did say in relation to 21 years or so forth, and you started that with two other co-founders of the business due to noticing a gap in the mining and industry services provision in Rockhampton. So how did it all begin?
Yeah, well, the original member, Scotty Stevens, he was the original part of the SMW, which was Stevens Mobile Welding. He had a few guys working for him, and when I was in between jobs, I've only ever had four in my life, and this is the fourth one, he needed some help. So I got involved there, and I said, look, if we're going to do this, we probably should come together in a partnership. So Frank Humphreys, which is the third member, him and I actually used to manage a cement plant together. He was production manager, I was maintenance manager. He was in between moving, actually leaving Rockhampton to go back down to Newcastle. He'd done a lot of project management down there with the foundries in Newcastle. And I said, look, we've got an opportunity here if you want to hang around. So we got together and ticked off a strategy on where we need to be, and the rest is history pretty much. It hasn't been easy going, I always say. If you have a look at the last 11 years, specifically 2010, 2011, we had two floods. And I said after the second flood in our original workshop, which was on the Fitzroy down at Wolf Street, I said we won't be flooding here a third time. So we're very fortunate at that particular time that John Holland wished to be out of all their property throughout Queensland. So their Parkhurst industrial site come up for sale. We purchased that off John Holland. And we moved in there, and it assisted us to grow. But not only did we have those two floods, we don't forget the coal downturn that we had in 2009. And of course, there was another downturn in 13, 14. But on the back of that, we had Cyclone Marsha in 15 and Cyclone Debbie in 16 and come through Mackay first, which gave us another flood. We've really just come out of that and started getting some momentum into 18 and 19, and then we, unfortunately enough, we've all now experienced the COVID swings of ups and downs. So, look, the last 10 years haven't been easy going for any business, but look, we're still there. We didn't have the greatest start to the year, but we had a good finish to last year. So we're chugging along okay there now, and as you said earlier, we are still the first and only Rockhampton Mackay-based business to become public listed. So that was in the midst of COVID. We were well invested into the IPO stage, and of course COVID then hit its height, so no one wanted to be involved in IPOs for the service industry at that stage. So we funded and backed ourselves to get it across the line with a reverse listing through the NZX. And again, we're moving forward now, so we're looking at future acquisitions and bolstering our strategy so that we are also in the construction area. That's the reason we're now fortunately doing some work up at the defence area. It's a great project up there, and we certainly want to secure every opportunity we can. And so do all the other local businesses that have been waiting for that particular project to start. But there's some more good projects on the horizon for this area. Certainly the Ring Road is next, and hopefully a stadium, all going well, if we can get our politicians to align and get consensus on building a stadium here at in Rockhampton, so that one day we can have another shot at the possible NRL side that is still up for grabs. So that's another part I work outside of my full-time role, is working with some community groups to continue to build this great area.
One of the things that I do ask a lot of our guests is, as you said, you've gone through a number of ups and downs within the business and so forth, and you know, we got COVID at the moment, and more of a impact was about a year ago, but we never know, that can continue and become a bigger impact for us all. But in relation to, you know, you've gone, as I said, you've gone through the ups and downs with weather and so forth and within business. Personally, how do you keep yourself up in relation to it? You know, you'd have a number of employees, the pressures that you have within it. How do you keep healthy yourself and positive within the market?
Yeah, look, I suppose the best thing I've ever done in my life and it was actually giving up drinking. So I've been without an alcoholic drink for 2 years, and that was a personal thing because I wanted to make sure that I was at my best all the time for the sheer volume of people that now rely on me making the best decisions for them and their families, because however our performance of a business perform impacts all the families around me. So that's one thing I certainly have done. But I always sit back and have a look where we come from, what we had as kids. I had a big family too. I was the youngest out of six, and mum and dad never had a real lot, and they worked really hard. My mum especially right through until her years were up. We lost her a few years back there from the dreaded cancer, but she was a strength, and I know what she went through as a kid growing up because she shared me those experiences. So I thought, well, you look at what we got here in Queensland and Australia as a whole compared to other countries. Even when we think we're doing a bit tough or things aren't great, you can look around the world and say, gee, I'm glad I was born here in Australia and especially Queensland. So that's really how I change the focus on how I view the world. And certainly every day I've got another challenge in my role, pressure and stress around compliance and governance and employees and competitors and the legals and all the rest of it. But that's really what I do. At night when I'm staying awake, working through strategy for the next day after getting on top of my previous day, I always say, gee, I'm glad to be here. You know, we still have the opportunity to go fishing when the weather's good. We still have the opportunity to throw a crab pot in when we have a weekend away down here. So, you know, we've got all the good things that make those parts of business and the stresses go away really quick just because of the picturesque area we do live in. So I'm very grateful for that, and I suppose that is why I'm very vocal in the support of our communities as a whole, because it's a great area, and we just need this region, as in the CQ region, able to be looked at for some of that further investment. Doesn't matter if it's a local, state or federal level. I don't want to be critical on our friends and our cousins down in the southeast corner, but they've always been very fortunate to be getting funding for major projects and stadiums and roadworks, and we're just starting to get a taste of that for the first time, and that's on the back of, you know, a strong federal government and a strong state government seeing the same value in this region as we do, and of course our local government here too pushing ahead. But great, it's got some great councillors here, and there's great councillors in the Mackay Regional Council as well. So they are very collaborative between Rocky and Mackay. So that's the other reason it's a lot easier for us to do business in both Rockhampton and Mackay, because of the collaboration between the two local councils there, and including the Livingston Shire, which is takes in the Yeppoon Emu Park area of the greater Rocky region. So, yeah, look, that's how I really keep on top of things, is just appreciating what we have got.
Okay, well, so you have said there, of course, you're involved in community a lot. You also mentioned in relation to, you know, Rockhampton region, or really Morley, central Queensland up to North Queensland is starting to get bites and so forth, rather than a lot of things going to the southeast corner and so forth. But only recently you were in the local newspaper. I don't know if you'll call it a paper anymore, but oh, well, that one is coming out, isn't it? But also digital, of course, where you were a little bit critical in relation to government tenders and how some of those tenders are handed out to locals within the region.
Yeah, look, as I said in the article, and the first article come out was probably not, well, it wasn't as accurate as it should be in regards to the managing contractors. The second article was a lot clearer. We don't have an issue with either one of the managing contractors, and our comments have always been around the local content clause. So what constitutes genuine local content? And as I've said in those articles, you know, we're all for investment in this town, and we certainly encourage it. However, when there is a commitment to local content, we just want to make sure that that local content is fair for the existing local businesses. So like some of these projects and the defence project, for an example, they're one-in-a-lifetime events for these local businesses. So they've been steady for 15, 20, 30 years in business. So an opportunity like that that's in our backyard, they need to have the opportunity to maximise how much they can get out of those projects, because I can guarantee you those long-term existing businesses will invest every spare dollar they have from any of those tender awards back in this town. So that's where we see, when the clause says value for money, that's the real value for money, is these taxpaying businesses and taxpayers of this greater region that has a project like that in the backyard. The value for money is how much is returned to the local economy. And once again, as I said, we're all for, for investment coming into town, but we've got to be fair and reasonable too in regards to that local content and value for money when larger packages awarded to companies out of the southeast corner that have a project like this running somewhere in a similar capacity every week, every month, every year, that they can hone in and get some of that some of those packages to bolster their own companies, which in turn, as I said, these local businesses, they all return to the economy greatly. All the sporting clubs, all those smaller areas that the local companies tip into every year, you don't see the larger interstate companies having the same commitment. Hopefully that might give them some encouragement to start tipping in towards some of the sponsorships of the local community groups and sporting clubs, which I'm sure they will. But look, that's the biggest issue that's been up here. And there's been a reluctance, and I say it nicely, reluctance from any of the industry bodies to actually raise these concerns formally through any of the media outlets, and mainly because there's a lot of fear there that if you do create a little bit of noise in the dissatisfaction of the award process, that they'll simply remove you from the contenders list, which isn't the case. But there's a lot of business owners that don't have the same confidence as myself to go and speak to these senior project managers of these interstate and international companies that are working up there. So look, as I said in my last article, our local federal member here that does a great job, her re-election promise was 80% local content in the Shoalwater Bay Defence Project, and all we're asking for is that is reported and measured to everyone in the greater Rocky region every month, so that we are getting the full potential of those promises. We spoke about the state government. They're doing a great job in regards to the manufacturing hubs and bringing back the regional content. We agree with all of that wholeheartedly and support it, regardless of which of the political parties are involved. And we just want to see that in play by assisting these local businesses win packages up at Shoalwater Bay. And the same as the locals, regional council, they've always had a strong view on the local content, but we need to see them also assisting the local businesses, which are all ratepayers here too for the greater Rocky region. They're paying wages, they're paying rates, they're contributing back into the community, sporting and community groups as well. So all we're saying is the real value for money is maximising how much of that total spend and those larger projects are left in the town at the end. And we really just need to be transparent and fair on everyone. That's what our politicians' jobs are, is to be transparent. We just ask for that. There's certainly nothing difficult or sinister in it. We just want everyone to be true to their word and deliver on what they're telling us they're going to deliver.
Yes, which can be difficult sometimes, especially politicians are not all experienced within the industry, and of course they're told one thing, where the other hand, or not their hand, but the other hand of the people they're speaking to may be doing the other. But at the same time, I tell you, it's all about accountability in the end, and just making sure that they do follow through. But thank you very much for joining us, Jack. Believe it or not, we are at the end of the podcast. It never takes long. So if people actually want to get in contact with you or the business, how can they do that?
Yeah, certainly. Look, yeah, the easiest way is just to get online, get on hold of our website address there, which is very simple, www.snwgroup.com.au. Has all the relevant contact details there of all our key people, and anyone that wants to chase me down on a personal note or a one-on-one, that's, we've got people there who will direct you straight to myself via email or phone call. So always happy to take calls, and we'll continue to be like that.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Jack.
Thanks for your time, Karen, and enjoy.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kieran Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.